I'd like you to sing 239, just the third verse, while I'm writing on the board. Take my life and let it be. The lady that wrote that song, if you read about her, she consecrated to the Lord, and she had a lot of jewelry. And when she said that silver and gold, she had a lot of jewelry, and the Lord dealt with her. She was saved, dealt with her to get rid of it. She didn't need to wear that anymore. She didn't need it. And so she packed it up in a box. And she said it was such great joy in her heart when she packed that jewelry up to sell it, and she gave the money to missionaries. Take my life and let it be. We want to talk tonight about the Holy Spirit and other spirits. You know, we need the Holy Spirit tonight because in this world, there's a lot of evil spirits going around. And it seems now in the last days, you can see it even more. I can see it when I'm at the store. These spirits even sometimes look at me and they recognize the Holy Spirit within me. I don't know if you've had that experience, but you probably have. I have had it quite often lately that they recognize the Spirit of God and they recognize the Holy Spirit. And we want to, it's a warning tonight that we get the Holy Spirit in our life, get sanctified if we don't have it, to make sure that we can stand against the wiles of the enemy. We don't want to be afraid of these other spirits, because when we have the Holy Spirit, we have greater power in us than them. But they are real, and we don't want to play with it. We don't want to flirt with it, and we don't want to entertain it. And we want God to give us discernment of these spirits, because they are real and we need discernment. We want to read, first of all, in Acts. One of the greatest things that Jesus did was he promised the Holy Spirit. He promised the Holy Spirit to us, and he gave the Holy Spirit. After he went back, he told his disciples, I'm going to give you a promise of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be within you. And I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I am going to give you the sweet Holy Spirit. And he did it, and he gave it to people, and he's still giving it to people. And we have it today, and we can testify that we have the Holy Spirit within us, and it's so sweet to have the Holy Spirit talk to us. Every day he talks to us. He talks and he guides and he leads us. In Acts it says, Jesus said, I want you to wait for the promise in the fourth verse of the first chapter of the Father, which saith ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then he says on in the eighth verse, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, this power gives us power to be a witness. And you know, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're not ashamed to be dressed like saints. We're not ashamed to stand up for our convictions, because the Lord gives us power through the Holy Ghost to be not bold in ourselves, but bold in the Holy Ghost, to be strong, to be of good courage, to be strengthened. And he gives us this power to live a holy life and to tell others and be a witness. And, you know, it's a great thing. When we're persecuted, there's been times in my life we might be persecuted for the way we dress or the way we wear our hair or what we don't wear, or what we do or whatever. But you know, it doesn't really matter because we have such great power to witness for Christ. And we do not let those things bother us. So it says, ye shall receive power. What kind of power is this? It's a power to live a holy life. It's a power to be quiet when you need to be quiet. It's a power to give grace to you, to be what you should be. It's a power to forgive people, forgive those that hurt you, and forgive and to love people. It's so much power that Jesus gives you, and you need it today. We need it in this world. We need it to make it to heaven. So many times the scriptures came to me, he that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Yes, it's wonderful that we're saved today. It's really wonderful. But you know what? We still got a few more days to live. Unless God takes us today, we've got a few more days, a few more weeks. We don't know how long. Maybe a few more months, maybe a few more years, but we got some more time on our hands. Lord willing, unless God takes us right away, we've got a still more life to live, and we want to be faithful to God, and we want to get all God wants us to have, and we want to have the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Dear ones, tonight, if God's talking to you, get that power. I remember when I first was saved in Michigan, I was 18 years old, and I was not raised with the saints, but you know, I am here tonight. Because I prayed for the truth, and I prayed that God would lead me to the true church. That's why I'm here. Otherwise, you would never know me. It was because God brought me here. God called me. God brought me here. And he brought me to be one of you, and I'm very thankful that I'm one of you, and I love you. And I want everyone to be saved and sanctified. I want us to be encouraged. I want the church to be what the church should be, you know, everyone. And God will have a church. He said the government of the church is upon his shoulder. He's going to have a church, but we want to be part of that church. And we want to lift up the standard. And like was said sometime today, there's many ministers that were on these front benches that are dead and gone to their heavenly reward. And it's our ministry now that we have got to hold up the standard. Saints, all of us have a job to do. We all have something, whatever we do in our lives can affect the church. We need to be careful how we live, what we do, what we get involved in, because it does affect others, and we need to be very, very careful. And may God help us today to be what God wants. It said, you shall receive power. You know, it's a power to live a holy life. It's a power to have grace. That's what the power is for. And there are demonstrations. I mean, we have a happiness, and we shout and we praise God and things like that. But that's really just something that God gives us because we're happy, and the Holy Spirit does have, you know, we are happy and things like that. We praise God. But the main thing is to live a holy life. That's what the power is for. It's to be able to witness and not be afraid. There has been people in the years ago, the Christians gave their life for this gospel. And we need to have a kind of faith that we can give our life to God, that we can consecrate. I remember when the Lord dealt with me years ago, when I first moved to Oklahoma. But, you know, I'd been in Michigan quite a while, and I'd been saved for quite a few years, about 9 years. And I had ministered in things, but I had little children and stuff, and we moved to Oklahoma. And so I just kind of, you know, I didn't know everybody, and I was a little bit backward about that. And I just quit for a while. And I quit ministering for a while. And the Lord started dealing with me. And he said, are you going to do what I called you to do? The reason I'm telling about myself is to help you to see that God may be calling you. See, God may be talking to you. And you might be holding back. And young people, it's wonderful that you get up here and sing. But, you know, teenagers can preach. God can call you. God can call you. Our Sunday school, we need Sunday school teachers. We need workers in his vineyard. And you know what? God wants to talk to you. And the Holy Spirit, that's part of the office of the Holy Spirit, is to deal with people, to call them. And I remember the Lord dealt with me, and he said, I opened to the Bible, and it says, if you will do this willingly, you will receive a reward, but if against your will, if you don't want to do it, a dispensation of the gospel will be committed to you. And he said, if you don't yield to this, you're going to start backsliding. If you do not yield to this consecration, you know, these meetings we have is very serious. Because God calling people, he's calling people to, it's not just to take up time, but he's calling us to be what God wants. And it takes consecration. Just like the little lady that when the Lord dealt with her, those songs were born from people that were saved and that God dealt with them. And they had the Holy Spirit and God showed them to give all to God. Give it all. Everything that we own should be in God's hands. Everything that he has all control. And we do thank him for protecting us today from the weather. We wanted to say that. And we just thank the Lord. It did disrupt the service tonight. But you know, the Lord, he is over us and he's calling us. And we want to see the church go forward when it is going to go forward. But the message tonight is, Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to consecrate, because I realize there's so many evil spirits all around me in this world. And I need the Holy Spirit to protect me and seal me. And we don't need to be fooling around in any way. We need to be serious about our salvation. Very serious. It's a very serious thing, because we are going to meet God someday. We're going to quit breathing. Our heart's going to stop. It's going to be over. And there's nothing we can do about it. God is going to call us one day. He's going to take our life. He's going to remove us from this scene of this world. He's going to take us to the other world. And we want to be ready to go. But until we're here, we need to be faithful to God. We need to be strong for the Lord. There's a way to be strong for the Lord and still have the Spirit of Christ. You know, it takes a lot of strength for the saints to deal with other denominations, other false doctrines, and deal with these people. And I have them in my life and talk to them, love them, show them, but yet stand for what you believe and stand for your convictions and not let them sway you. And all the time that you know that every false doctrine has a false spirit. And we need to be aware of that more and more. And we don't hear much about it, but tonight I want to read some strong scriptures. But they're the Bible. It's not what Sister Marcia believes. It's what the Bible teaches, okay? And you know, it's something that we can do it and still have the Spirit of Christ. We can love other people and we can still work with them. But we must be aware that we must help them and teach them the correct way. And you know, and the Lord can help us. Oh, may the Lord help us tonight. We want to read this scripture, the second chapter of Acts. Now I'm going to say something. I don't know, but I think I should say it. I'm going to read this scripture. And the enemy told me not to read it. You know why he told me not to read it? But I'm going to read it. Because I can recognize the voice of the devil. And that's what I'm going to say tonight. You need to recognize the enemy. Is there any verse in the Bible that we can't read? Why would the enemy tell me not to read it? Okay, I'm going to read it. Acts 2 and 17. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. You know why the devil told me not to read it? He said, they're going to think you're trying to defend yourself. But you know why I have to read it? I have to read it because it's part of the Bible. I'm not trying to defend myself any more than I'm defending the brothers. But you know, it's in the Bible, and every false doctrine and false way, if they teach against women ministering, they're under that other spirit of some kind. They need to get delivered from that. It is wrong to teach that. It's wrong to believe that. It's wrong because the Bible says so. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The Lord has no respect to persons. It's the Holy Spirit working in us. Dear ones, and I like to see the young sisters. I see some of the young men coming up and being called to preach, but the sisters I don't see so much, and I want the church to be blessed. And there's a place for everybody, dear ones. And I love and appreciate all our brethren ministers. And I love the sisters and appreciate them too. Because I tell you, there's many girls that come to the altar that need help. There's a place for everybody. So may God help us and let the Spirit of God work among us like He wants to work. If we try to remove anybody, the church won't be the same. If we try to remove a child, it won't be the same. We've got to let God have His way. We've got to have the Spirit go forth. It's not real popular with some people, but it's in the Bible. So we're going to have to love the Bible. And you know, some things cross us. And what we think, you know, people say, well, I don't believe this and I don't believe that. It's not so much important what you believe. It's what the Bible says. It's not important so much if I believe something, if I believe it incorrectly, God's going to deal with me and say, you know what, Marcia, you're going to have to straighten up here. You're going to have to submit because the Bible says this. And you know, and the Lord, He can talk to us. He can help us. I know the Lord can help us and let the Spirit work among us. Acts 3, I want to read a little bit here. You know, Peter and John, they were going to the temple, and this man, he was sick, and he was asking alms, and he was lame. The man was lame from his mother's womb, and he was carried about. He couldn't walk, and he lay daily at the temple, and he was asking for some alms because, you know, he couldn't walk, he couldn't work. But, you know, as Peter and John looked at him, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He leaped. He walked. He praised God, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was him that said at the alms, begging for alms at the beautiful gate. And it said on there, if you go on, it says, when Peter saw it, he answered, and it said, all the people came and ran to Peter and John, and they were going to almost like lift Peter and John up. But what did Peter say? When Peter saw it, he answered the people, why marvel ye at this? Or why look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired her murder to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life whom God hath raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses. But what they're trying to say, it's not our power. It's not our holiness. Dear ones, when Jesus, when He sanctifies us, I remember the night I was sanctified in Michigan. I was saved for a while and I didn't have a pastor. I didn't have anyone to teach me. But the Lord taught me. And it was wonderful. We did have Brother Humphrey come visit us in different ones, but Brother and Sister Humphrey would come from Kentucky, but we just didn't have a lot of teaching. But the Holy Spirit teaches. And Jerry's grandmother taught me a lot. She was my mentor. But I remember one night we had had a family gathering, and I won't go into every detail, but something happened that greatly bothered me. And I didn't act right. I was angry. And I will just tell you, I was angry and I didn't act right. I was ugly acting because it was something I was justified in a way for that to bother me, but I wasn't justified in the way I acted. And when I got home, I was so disappointed in myself. And I thought, I'm staying up tonight and I'm praying to God. I'm going to repent of this and ask God to forgive me. I am not giving up. I'm staying saved. And I'm not giving up because Marcia made a failure. I'm not giving up. I'm going to pray till I get power. Nobody taught me that but the Lord. And I remember right by the kitchen chair, I got down and said, God, please forgive me. I got straightened. I know I'm still saved, but forgive me for acting so ugly. I was, and one of a family member even helped out by saying, you just shame the Church of God the way you acted. That really helped me out. But so I said, yeah. But I wasn't getting much encouragement. It's kind of like Job comforters, you know. I already know I made a failure, but just put me right down now. Just put me right down some more. But, you know, I was praying. I said, Lord, please give me some more power to live a holy life. Give me power to make it to heaven. And I was serious and sincere. I didn't even hardly know the word sanctified. I didn't hardly even know what I was praying for. I just knew I needed help. And all of a sudden, it was like angels came down in that kitchen. I'll never forget. It was so glorious. I got up. I was crying. I was praising God. I said, something's happened to me. And I called up Grandma. It was about, you heard about getting calls in the middle of the night. I called in the middle of the night. I said, Grandma, something's happened to me in this kitchen. I said, God's come down. And she said, honey, you have got sanctified. She said, you have got filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, we don't have to guess at it. We don't have to think. We don't have to take it by faith. We can know that we are sanctified. There was a difference in me from that very moment. I had more power to be sweet. I had more power to be kind. And yes, you can even make mistakes after you're sanctified. But generally speaking, almost 100%, we have the victory. We have the victory, and we live free from sin from then on. And we're sealed with the Holy Ghost, and it gives us great power. And the Lord has showed me something else. And this, if you'll please listen, I mean, don't look at the vessel, but listen to me. Listen to what God is telling me to share with you. I'm learning, you know, I've been saved. Not that that is a great thing that God's kept me saved that long. I think we've been married 47 years. I've been saved 47 years. I've been with the saints all that time, almost 50 years. And I've learned some things from the older ministers. And I know one thing that was taught me. They said, when someone comes against you and you feel your spirit, now you can be sanctified, but you feel a little ruffling there, like you want to defend yourself or you just feel burdened. Get away if you can from that situation. Because we are human beings and we need to get away. I had someone call me one day and they were just, it was one of the saints, I love him today, years and years ago in the old chapel. Something came up about cleaning. And they called me up and they were just kind of giving me the 1-2. But you know, so to speak. And I just wanted to, I could feel that feeling like a, almost like argument, like I wanted to defend myself and I wanted to, you know, go back. And the Lord said, get off the phone. And I said, I can't talk to you. I just can't talk to you right now. Okay. I can't. And I hung up the phone. I said, I just can't go there. We gotta get off this conversation because I valued my love for them and I valued our friendship. And so I had to get away from it. And this is what this minister said. When you feel that feeling, you get away from that situation. You don't give in to the arguments. It says a child of God shall not strive. And if I would have listened to the voice of the Lord sometimes when people started coming against me and not want to defend me, I would keep myself in a lot of less problems. You must listen to the Spirit of God and don't let these other spirits influence you. And you know the enemy, when we have the Holy Spirit in us, the enemy can't get in there. But he does talk to us. This morning, I woke up at 9:30. I have been getting up about at least by 8. I mean, I'm going to bed sometimes. I got company maybe 1 or 2 in the morning. So, you know, it's not very many hours of sleep. But this morning, for some reason, I didn't wake up till 9:30. And I looked at the clock and I thought, I got 30 minutes to get ready for service, about time we drive over to get on time. Try to leave about 10 or 5 after. I said, I don't know if I can make it. And the devil, this one thing, that other spirit came to me and said, don't make it. Don't go. Said, you know, you have got to get some rest. You know, you've been pushing yourself in that meeting. You've got every right to rest. You rest. You can go to church later. Just stay home. He was telling me all these things. And I said, yeah, that sounds reasonable in a way. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, but you had enough sleep. Get up. Wash your face. Get ready. You go to church. They're counting on you to be there. I saw everyone's counting on me to be there. Yes, they are. They're counting on you to be there. I'm counting on you. If no one else, I'm counting on you to be there. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to listen to you. I'm not listening to the devil. That's that other spirit. The devil does talk to us. And we've got to recognize these other spirits and don't listen to him. And it's amazing how people say, the devil told me this and the devil told me that. And I think, why are you talking to the devil? Why are we making conversations with the enemy? If we know it's the devil, quit talking to him. You mean, we might get kind of confused at first, you know. We might kind of think it's our own thinking, you know. I mean, we're really made up, you know, our mind, we think things. But if the devil, if we recognize, oh, wait a minute, that's the devil. The devil don't want me to go to church. He's the one talking to me. And you know, Brother Marty preached this morning almost exactly what happened to me. He preached about you've got to do your part and God will do his part. You got to get up. You got to get ready for service. You got to get here. What if all the ministers stayed home? There'd be no preachers here. Well, you could have testimony meeting. But you know, we've all got to get there. We've got to do our part. And you know, I just thought, my, this is amazing that the Holy Spirit would give a minister exactly what would happen to me this morning. You know, isn't that amazing? It's amazing. I don't know. I just hope and pray that this message will help somebody. You know, sometimes we write down scriptures and we study for hours or we study before the meeting and we try to get it all together. And finally, I just say, Lord, you know what? I just need the Holy Spirit. I mean, I can try to have a perfect message. I can have all the scriptures lined up and everything. But if God doesn't talk to people's hearts, if God doesn't deal with people's hearts, what avail is it that's a perfect message or I think it's a good message or you think it's a good message? The main thing is that people get help. It's not about us. It's not about how perfect we do things. It's the Lord. The Lord wants to talk to your heart. He wants you to see some things. I remember it just comes to my mind. I'm trying to let the Lord lead this message as much as I possibly can. I hadn't even thought about this, but there was a minister that he was among us. I think it might have been Brother Darius Gibson, but he would go out into other churches and call them and preach to them. They allowed him to come. If they allowed me to come preach, I'd go preach if they allowed me to go preach, but I'm not going to go there and let them preach to me. I'm not going to go there and let them teach my, you know, their false doctrine to me. No way. No way. That would be wrong. But he went and held a revival and the pastor sat right there and every single night the revival was on the Church of God. And every single day God gave him the same message on the Church of God. And he preached on the Church of God night after night after night after night until finally the pastor got up. You know what he said? I surrender. He said, I am going to accept the Church of God. I see it. And you want, God just gave him the same message over and over till this man saw the Church of God and accepted it. You know, when we hear the truth, we've got to do something with it. We've either got to reject it or we've got to accept it. And we want to accept the truth. Do you know there was a time in my life when I first got saved in Michigan? I had never met the saints at Monarch. I had never met the saints as a whole. That's quite encouraging, you know, when you see all the saints at Monarch and you see everyone. That's quite encouraging, isn't it? But I hadn't seen all that. And I had just seen Jerry's family. And the devil come in like a flood against me. He goes, you know what? It's Jerry's family. And of course, my parents, watch what I say. Other people was trying to influence me too. And I thought, it's just his family. It's not. And the devil just kept working on me. You don't want to live like that. We'd only been married just a few weeks or a few months. He said, you don't want to dress like that. You don't want to quit wearing makeup. You don't want to give up your jewelry. You don't want to live so strict. That's all Jerry's family. They're putting you under some kind of bond or some kind of coal or something. Oh, dear, maybe that's what it is. The devil was working. I was really saved. It was before I got sanctified, but I was really saved. And I told Jerry one day, Jerry, I think I don't want to do this. I just don't want to live this way. And he didn't know what to do with me. And I'm going to tell on the devil a little bit here, because the spirits of the devil will work on you. And I said, take me to the store. I want some mascara. He took me there. I bought it. I actually put it on my eyelashes, and I was still saved. I washed it off pretty quickly, though, I'll tell you that. I looked in the mirror in the car and I said, I am so scared to even look at myself. I said, I want this stuff off. God kept his hand on me and let me be saved, but I was being tempted of the enemy. And I said, Jerry, take me back to your grandmother's. I said, in your mom's house, I'm going to repent of what I did and ask God to forgive me. I want to be saved. I don't want to do those things. I don't want to be like I used to be. But the devil tried to tell me I wanted to do it. He may be telling you girls things like that. Put on some makeup. Put some on. You'll look prettier. Put it on. The devil's a liar. He's a liar and the father of lies. Now, I see sometimes we get magazines in the mail, and I see these ladies all painted up, and they got red lipstick on and eyelashes and fake nails hanging out like this and all this stuff. And I look at them, and I say, you know, I'm glad I don't look like them. I don't want to look like them. I don't want to look like them. I want to look like Jesus wants me to. That's right. I don't want to. I'll go a little further and say this. I don't want to color my hair. I don't want to. I like it. Oh, the devil, he tells us lies. You can't do that. You can't look like that. You can't be like that. You could be this. You could be so much prettier if you would do all those things to yourself. The devil wants your soul is what he wants. The devil wants your soul. What matters? You know what? I don't mean this in a bad way, because God created us and we're wonderfully created. Our bodies, the blood flows through us. We can think, we can walk, we can talk, we have a mind, we have choices to make. We can pick up things with our hands. It's wonderfully how God created us. We can eat good food in our digestive system and everything. Our heart beats, our lungs, we can breathe. Praise God! We're wonderfully created. But on the other hand, when you die, you're nothing but corruption. Why shall a mortal be proud? Because I tell you, when the moment you die, they embalm you, they put you in the ground, and your flesh will decay and stink. Like Lazarus. He was in the grave 4 days and he stinketh. I think it was 4 days, he stinketh. Back then, I don't know what they did, but anyway. But God delivered him, brought him out of the grave, gave him a new body, and healed him of death even. He was amazing, wasn't it? And now, the Holy Spirit has come. So why should we worry so much about this flesh? Why do we want to glory in this flesh? It's just going to die. It's going to be corruption. The most important thing is our spirit. That our spirit, our soul makes it to heaven. I've had dreams. I'm not going to share them all, but I have had dreams of heaven. I've had glimpses of heaven. I know there's a heaven. I know there's a God. And I don't know how long it's going to be before I go see him. But you know what? I have no fear of death because of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, I'd be greatly afraid. Greatly afraid. Because the thought of going in the ground, the thought of the whole thing about the casket and the death and the funeral is awful. And I'm just telling you, my flesh recoils. I don't want to go through that. But when I think about my Jesus and the cross, and I think about, you know, he's going to be with me. And I'm not really going to be there. He's going to take me out of my body. And I'm going to the glory world. And that's just going to, he's going to take care of this body I leave behind. He's going to someday change it to a glorified body. And I'm going to go to heaven with a new body. I don't know just how it's all going to work. But according to the Bible, that's what it says. You go back to God. The spirit go back to God who gave it. And it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they shall have a glorified body. So we'll be connected again, and we'll be changed into a glorified body. You know what? I know one thing. God is a big God. He created this whole world, and he can take care of the afterlife. He's got no problem. But what we got to make sure is we make it to that afterlife, because I'll tell you, people that think hell is just something, we don't hear a lot about hell, but we need to hear more about it, because hell is real. And we don't want to go to hell. Hell is real. That man said, can I have some water to cool my tongue in these flames? People say, you know, well, God loves people too much to send them to hell. They send themselves to hell by rejecting the truth, by rejecting the word of God, by not yielding to the God, not yielding to his Holy Spirit. You know what? Saints, it takes a while to become. You become a saint by getting saved, but it takes a while to learn some things. I'm still learning. We sing a song, I'm learning, learning, lessons every hour. Why do we come to camp meetings? Why do we have meetings? We need these meetings. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to be challenged. We need to be stirred up. I know a minister years ago preached a message like that, and I never forgot how, you know, I'll just use the example of lemonade. You put lemonade in water and get that frozen lemonade or something, you put it in there. What do you have to do? You have to take a handle and you got to stir it all up and keep stirring and stirring and stirring. You know what, saints? We need to be stirred up sometimes. We need to be stirred up in our spirit and know that this is the way to go, and we're going to stick with it. We're going to be fixed. We're going to stick with it. We're going to stay saved. We're going to endure to the end. We're going to make it to heaven by God's grace. And the old devil comes along sometimes, he'll say, you know, you're getting older, and how are you going to die, and what's going to happen to you, and how bad is it going to be, and, you know, are you going to make it? You know what I say? By God's grace, He will help me, and He will be with me, and I encourage myself, He will take me through. Whatever He does, it will be right. We can have a relationship with Christ that we know everything will be all right. No matter how many other spirits are around us, we know we've got the Holy Spirit and we're going to make it. I thought about that song, Come Holy Spirit, dark is the hour. We need thy wisdom, thy might, and the power. I might not have it just right, but we need you, Holy Spirit. We need you to help us. Thank God that we have the Comforter. Thank God that He gave us the Comforter. Praise God. Ephesians 1 and 13 says, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You know what? I never have been able to do in my life. I never have done it. I could have done it. But I've never done, you know, canning that much. But I love mason jars. I use them for different reasons and drink out of them, things like that. But I really need to, I probably need to use them sometime for canning. But I wasn't raised in a farm. You know, I was raised in the city always. And so I just never did that. We always bought our groceries and things. But I've always been amazed, and heard, you know, all these sisters tell me, you know, you boil the water and you put your, and it seals that seals the green beans, or it seals the tomatoes. And Lord willing, one of these days, I want to do that. Because I want to do that. Because I want to bring the example out here today. How God seals us with the Holy Spirit. This is a great thing. This is not a small thing. He seals us. Praise God. I feel like jumping. But it's just, I'm so happy tonight. He seals us with the Holy Spirit. That's so wonderful. And He seals us, and the enemy can't get us, and these other spirits, they can't get us. They can walk right by you at the grocery store. Evil spirits. They can look at you. You can feel them. One time, talk about passing track style. I'm not going to say, because you would laugh. You can ask me later. I don't want to be funny in this message. My personality, I could be like that. I got to be careful. Because this message is serious, and I want it to be serious. But I was passing track style one time in Louisiana when we were younger. In New Orleans, but a lot of us went, saints went down there. One thing was nice. There was a band there. When they seen us, they started playing the song, When the Saints Go Marching In. Yeah, they did. And that was nice. But when we started passing out the tracks, this one man, looked, he said the ugliest thing to me. Oh, he was not nice at all. And I tell you what, if there was anything that could discourage me right then from giving more tracks, it could have been that man. But I kept on doing my little job. And I prayed for that man. I still think about him sometimes. I don't know if he's alive or not, but I think, poor man. Let's pray for him. But you know. They don't understand. They're so deceived by these other spirits. It's got a hold of them. These spirits that come and tell people to kill themselves. That's the spirit of the devil. You think, you know, that's not a right logical thing. People usually love their lives, but the enemy comes along. You see how dangerous it is not to be saved and sanctified? These spirits can come. And I tell you what, the spirits can come and say to you, you don't really want to live like the saints. You could be dressed, one of you teenagers tonight could be dressed so righteous and so holy. You could be even singing a special song, But the enemy could be working on you when you're home, or even right now, and saying, you know what? I don't want to be one of the saints. I don't want to live strict like that. That's the devil. That's one of those other spirits. He wants your soul. He wants all of our souls. He wants to discourage us. I heard this morning too about, you know, David encouraged himself. Sometimes you want the saints to encourage you. And you don't see, maybe you might get one or two to encourage you, but maybe you like more. And you forgive me if I haven't encouraged you enough. I want to encourage people. But you know, we don't know what our brothers and sisters are going through. And they could look like they're so happy and they're just so joyful. And they might be going through one of the hardest trials that you don't even know what they're going through at home. You don't even know what they're going through in their families. And they could be crying out to God for help. Or maybe someone at church has discouraged them and been not very nice to them. And the enemy's coming in like a flood. And you know, that's all from the devil. It's not so much that person. It's the devil. The devil comes in to divide and destroy. And that's why we have sectism tonight. I love everybody that's in sectism, people. I'm not against the people. I love them all. I love all the souls. But you know what? I hate false doctrine. And I think I can hate it because God hates it. Yes, he hates it. He don't like it. He only likes his Bible. He only likes the true way. Because false doctrine leads people to hell. If a preacher gets up and says, it's okay if you get in adultery, if you don't, you can't get along with your wife or your husband, go find another one and marry him. There it says, well, you know, there's one reason that you can do that. No, there's not any reason. If you read on in the Bible, it says, stay unmarried. Yeah, you can leave them if it gets too bad. But it says remain unmarried or be reconciled. There's no excuse for divorce. Absolutely none. And I feel sorry. It's not that I'm rejoicing over anybody that got in that problem. I feel sorry for you. But I want to tell you that the devil tries to fight marriage. He does. And I'm telling you, it's a serious thing, young people. You need to pray for the right companion, because you get the wrong one, you're really going to have trouble. And if you get the right one, you're going to have some problems. Just telling you the truth, that's life. Because you know what? There's two people and two strong wills. I have a very strong will, and so does my husband. And you know what? We've had to learn to yield to each other. I've had to learn so many times to say, I love you. Let's just start over the day, okay? Let's just start over. And we just submit and, you know, almost 50 years and we're still submitting to one another and loving one another. And I tell him every day, I love you, Jerry. I love you. I'm so glad I married you. I'm so glad I stuck it out with you. I love you. And I'm not, it's no hypocritical, it's the truth. But you know what? It takes work to work on a marriage. Oh, you get married and they get this beautiful dress and go on a honeymoon, And then something happens. Why are you driving down that street? That's the wrong way to go. I'm about to go this way. Oh, no, I know what I'm doing. I'm right. I am right. No, you're not. You're not right. Why don't you just be quiet? Why don't you just be, and then you say, you know why? Why did I marry him? He's not very nice. Or why did I marry her? I thought she was so sweet and kind and beautiful on that day. And now look at all these problems we got. And why did you fix that for supper? I don't like that. Why'd you put onions in that again? I told you I don't like onions. Or why'd you burn the toast? Well, honey, I could start over. We can make more toast. Just all kinds of little piddly things. But dear ones, it takes work to work on a marriage. And I'm telling you, it takes work to be saved. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And we've got to be aware that there's spirits in this world that's after us. How do you think D.O. Teasley wrote Eternity and end up going backwards? Read about him. What happened? Well, I'll tell you one thing that happened to him. He was doing the work for the Lord, and he was doing good in his job. And some brethren got together, and they said, we think you need to go over there. And they got a committee together and they said, we think you need to leave your work and you need to go work over there. And he said, no, I don't think so. I think I'm supposed to stay right here. What if someone says to me, Sister Marsh, you know, I think you need to leave Guthrie. I had one person say they said, you know what? I think they think you're a permanent fixture right there. Permanent fixture. Because you're not going nowhere. I said, well, I would go if God told me to go. But, until he tells me to go, I can't go because I want to go to heaven. And I love Guthrie. I love everybody here. It's fine. Love this congregation. But, you know, it's just as good as any other congregation I could go to. So why do I want to go somewhere else? Or why do I want to go be isolated? And the devil tried to tempt me. It's retirement time. Why don't you and Jerry just go find you a piece of land? Actually, we bought some land. We're selling it. We're trying to sell it. The devil tempted us so far that we bought it. He said, it's time for you to retire, leave Guthrie, go there, and you can visit congregations, you can preach and go all these other places, but you don't have to stay there. And the devil tempted, it's time for you to retire and relax a little. So the devil did, as far as we went and bought the property. And now we got it on our hands. I wish you'd pray we can sell this property, because I tell you, we're trying and trying to sell it. It's such a draw. We made a bad mistake. But that shows you how the devil can work on you. He can work on you, but you better stay where God wants you to stay. And I've heard that some people, they get a little discord in one congregation, they go to another congregation, they get over there, have a little discord in that congregation, they're like, go in the other congregation, they have a little discord there, they go to another one. Let's just keep moving around. Why don't you just get some grace? Why don't you get some grace from the Holy Spirit? You know what I mean? This is why I didn't know I was going to say all this. But we need some grace from God to love one another. You know, the devil's pointing to other people what they did to me. The Lord started pointing to me and saying, what about you? How you could do this. How you could show more love. How you can do your very best. No matter what others do, what about you? You know, that's what God wants us to do in a marriage, the same way. Instead of looking at your husband's faults, look at your own. How can I be a better wife? I read a book one time, how can I be an easy companion? Have you heard about easy company? Some company come to your house and they want you to entertain them. They want good breakfast. I want you to fry bacon. I want you to fry eggs. I want you to fry biscuits and make biscuits and gravy too. And I want you to do this. And I want you to wash my clothes if I need it. And I want you to take me and entertain me. If I have a couple hours during the day, where are you going to take me? Let's be easy company. Let's get in there and take out the trash. If you see a few dishes, do the dishes. You know what? You might get invited back. Be easy company. Be an easy companion. I told Jerry all the time, Jerry, I want to be a good wife. I've been working on this for 47 years. How am I doing? I mean, it's work. It's work, but it's worth it, isn't it? Isn't it work to be a good mother? But isn't it worth it on Mother's Day when you get these cards and they tell you how much they love you and you think, I'm so glad I had those children. When I was growing, when they were little and they were under my feet, and so many times people say, send the children away, put them in a playroom. And sometimes I think back and think, oh, I remember one of my daughters, I was rocking one day and I thought, I know, they're growing up fast. They grow up fast. I'm going to rock them a little longer. I'm going to hold them a little tighter. Because I know this baby's going to grow up fast. And it's the same way with us. Let us love one another. Let's appreciate one another. Because you know what? One of these days we're going to be gone. We're going to die. One of these days we're not going to be here no more. And then so many times people say, oh my, I really appreciated that person. I love them. Oh no, they died. Oh no. But when they were alive, they said nothing. Never sent them a card. Never gave them an encouragement. Never did anything. Just, oh well, they'll always be here. How many husbands and wives have said goodbye that day and thought, oh, they'll be back. I don't have to say goodbye to him. I don't have to say, and they get in a car accident, you get a phone call. Your husband died. This has happened to people. I know a neighbor, one of my neighbors said her husband went out in the garage to get some fluid for the, they were going to grill some steaks that day or hamburgers or something on the patio. He went out there in the garage to get the things he needed. Dropped dead of a heart attack. They were just getting ready to fix supper. I mean, this is reality. And that so many of us sometimes just take people for granted and they don't really show them the love they need. Oh, may God help us. Do we have the Holy Spirit tonight? Are we letting these other spirits talk to us? You know, women, when they're really young, most of the time, they're real pretty. And the men, you know, that they're attracted to them at first because of their beauty or, you know, then they marry them and then they get older and they're maybe not as pretty as that 20-year-old that walks by. Is that what you're basing your marriage on? Are you going to base it on how much you love the person? You know? Because beauty fades. But it's the love you have inside for one another. Right? May God help us tonight. Well, I have a few more scriptures I want to read. I'm not going to read them all. But I just read what I feel like the Lord wants to give me, wants me to share with you. One thing I wanted to read in Ezekiel, that the Spirit of Holy Spirit is in you. I don't know why, but when I first got saved, I used to kind of think that the Holy Spirit would just come upon me. Like, if I got up to minister or testify, it's like, Lord, send your Holy Spirit down upon me. I don't know why I got that. Send it down upon me and help me to be. And the Lord spoke to me and said, the Holy Spirit is in you. I'm not going to send it on top of you or like that. You know, the Holy Spirit is in you. And so I want to make sure I read that scripture, Ezekiel 36 and 26. It says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you the heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. And why does he do that? To cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. That's why he puts it in us. And on the side of bad spirits, I just wanted to read this a little bit. It's probably not something we read too much, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to read this. In 1 John 5, it said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth God, that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And the fourth chapter of 1 John is really what I was wanting. Beloved, beloved. That's how we should feel about one another. Every single one of us. We should feel, you are my beloved. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Are you believing every spirit? But try the spirits. Try the spirits to see if they're of God. Try the spirits whether they are of God. Because, why? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Now this is how we're going to know. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. What does that mean to you? You know what that means to me? That we teach that we live free from sin. And that the Spirit of Jesus Christ comes into our flesh and causes us and gives us the Holy Spirit and causes us to triumph over all sin. And what you hear in sectism sometimes is, I'm so sorry to tell you the news that you can't live free from sin. I'm so sorry that you're going to make mistakes and failures every day. David, you're saved by grace. Don't worry. You prayed and God will help. He'll look over all that. But you can't triumph over sin. The flesh of Jesus Christ wasn't powerful enough on the cross to deliver you from sin. That's what they teach. A lot of them teach that, okay? But we teach that Jesus died on the cross and his blood was spilt for us to live a holy life. And not only that, but the curtain was ripped from the top to the bottom. And you were able to go into the Holy of Holies the day that Jesus died on the cross and he spilled his blood. There was a commotion over there in the temple. That commotion was that curtain. There was thunderings and there was lightnings so much the soldiers fell down. And they were scared. When Jesus gave up the ghost and he died on the cross and that curtain was ripped by God Almighty from the top to the bottom. And now you could go into the Holy of Holies. And I know that's a whole nother message, but I'm telling you what. We can have the Holy Spirit. And all these other spirits cannot affect us when we have the Holy Spirit. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because if we believe wrong and we die that way, that could be bad for us, okay? Around us, there's many spirits. But inside of us, we're born again Christians and we're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And that guardian spirit is dwelling and protecting us. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, that's wonderful. Oh, thank the Lord. Revelations 18 says, in the second verse, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. What is Babylon? It's sectism. It's false doctrine. It's like I said, I love the people. I love the people. It's the doctrines that's wrong, because we know that will hinder people from being saved. But it said, God said, Babylon has fallen and it's become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Young people and older people too. Don't just go everywhere in other religions. Don't do that. Be careful and recognize that there's spirits out there. There's other spirits. You got to be careful what you listen to, what you fellowship. It might sound good. But if you listen to it well, there's some false doctrine will come in there. And we can't just baby it and say, well, yeah, but they don't see it. But you know what? It's time for us to open our eyes and see some things. We got to see some things. Dear ones, we got to see the truth. It says here, every foul spirit, and God said, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And the fourth verse says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. You know, I know why God brought me to the saints, because I would have never made it in Babylon. Never would I have made it in Babylon, because I'm the type of person that I'm either all in for something or I'm out. I'm not going to hypocrite. I'm not going to pretend I'm saved. I would never made it in sectism. That's why God saw something in my heart. And I prayed, God, I tried sectism before I met the saints. I was 18 years old when I met the saints. I met Jerry and his family. Actually 17 when I met his family. 17 years old. Up to 17 years old, I was raised in a family that did not know the truth. Wonderful family. Wonderful mom and dad. My mom's still living. Love them dearly. Love my sister. Love my brother. Love them all. Wouldn't trade them for nothing. But I had to understand. And the moment I got saved, I started going to service with the saints, okay? I never was really in Babylon. But in my spirit, I had to learn the truth. See what I mean? You can be raised with the saints and still gotta learn the truth and get it for yourself. But you know, the Lord says, come out of her, my people. God's got some people in sectism. He wants them to come out. There's people there that are saved. This is my sheep hear my voice and they come out and they become one fold. I'm going to read one, Lord willing, One more scripture I want to get here. This is very important. The saints taught me this scripture. Some of the older ministers taught me this scripture. And I got to find it. Lord, help me. It's about one stick. One stick. I believe it's in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37. But the Lord has one stick, one way. If someone, I let it seem fine. I think I had that. Pardon? Ezekiel?
37:19.
Okay, go ahead and read it until I get there.
Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in one hand.
Okay. Years ago, I'm saying, I used to hear the ministers teach this a lot. There is one stick. This would compare to the one church of God, the one church. And I would hear them say this a lot, or I say quite often. I remember it stuck in my mind, so I'm sharing it with you. In the 37th chapter, up a little bit more, in the 14th verse, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. If you read above that, it talks about the bones and the shaking and how God prophesies to them. And it says, oh, in the ninth verse, oh, breathe and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And it says that he caused his spirit to go in them. You know, without the Holy Spirit in us, we would be a dead church. We have no instruments. We have no band. We have no big choir. Without the Holy Spirit, we are a dead church. And this is why we've got to have it. We've got to have it working with us. And we've got to keep this about, you know, Holy Spirit leadership. Holy Spirit leadership and not programs and not saying, who's going to preach? I don't want to go to Monarch ever and have them give me a pamphlet of who's going to preach that week and what their message is. If it gets like that, I won't be there. Because that is not the what God wants. I don't think it'll ever be there, but God forbid that it is, because we need Holy Spirit leadership. We've got to have it. Our souls is at stake. We've got to keep the church, it's our responsibility to teach. We need strong preaching, dear ones. We need some strong preaching, make strong saints. We gotta do it. We've got to preach. We gotta teach. We gotta preach these truths. We can't be afraid of man. I remember years ago, we gotta do it in the Spirit of Christ. And I believe by God's grace, I delivered in the Spirit of Christ. But it's strong. I know it's strong, but it's the truth anyway. And I remember years ago, I went, you know, I've been with the saints since I was 18. And I went to a minister's meeting in Missouri. And a lot of those ministers are dead now. And we were all singing the songs. I was pretty young. And they were singing the songs of Zion. And it felt like the walls were just echoing. It was a glorious, it was a big group of ministers, glorified meeting. And it was not a meeting to talk about problems. We don't need those kind of meetings. We might need them sometimes, but what I mean is, this was a meeting to encourage the ministers and talk about good things and lift us up. Maybe Brother Carl keeps shaking his, maybe you were there. It was so glorified. And the young ministers were supposed to put up, I don't think I put anything in there, I don't remember, but you're supposed to put a little note in a basket or something if you had a question, and they would draw it. And I never forgot, Sister Laverne Manuel stood up, and one of the young ministers, what do you do with the fear of man? She quoted scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, and she said, you know what, you just can't have it. You just cannot have the fear of man. All men are going to die and be as grass. And, you know, ministers just can't have the fear of man. You can't think, I'm not going to preach on this because I'll hit somebody. Because you know what? If you just won't be preaching because it's going to hit somebody. I mean, the devil brings that to my mind too. You can't say that because you know that person's life. It's going to hit them. It's going to hurt. You better not say that. But dear ones, we got to be free in the pulpit. As long as it's the word of God, we got to be free to teach the truth. If we cease from teaching the truth and we get the fear of man, well, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. May the Lord help us tonight. Probably there's a lot of more scriptures, but anyway, I just think that you've got the message that we need the Holy Spirit tonight. I hope that somebody will get some help tonight, that you will see how serious this is. And saints, we need to realize that we're living in a world of devils and spirits all around us. We had a warning last year at Monarch. A sister, Sherry, preached on spirits, and she called them demons. And it made people uncomfortable, I know, some said to me. But as I was sitting there listening to it, I thought, you know what? I just think we need to plead the blood of Jesus. And the Lord told me, he said, go up there and write it on the blackboard. Plead the blood of Jesus against the spirits. And so I went up there. I thought, well, Lord, are you sure you want me to do that? And he said, yes, I want you to write, plead the blood of Jesus. So I went up there and wrote, plead the blood of Jesus. And some younger ones came to me later and they said, Sister Marsha, I'm glad you did that because I started pleading the blood of Jesus because it got so scary. We don't like to hear about devils. But you know what? They're there. I don't like to hear about them either. I don't even want to talk about them. I'd rather talk about the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know if I wanted to put other spirits up there because that's why I did it smaller, because I thought, I don't want to glorify anything to do with the devil. I don't like the devil. I don't like his spirits. But I wrote Holy Spirit really big because that's what we want. We love the Holy Spirit. The devil is real though, okay? And this is why we preach these truths, because we want to be saved. We want to go to heaven. So you pray for me that I'll be faithful. I pray all the time, Lord, help me to make it to heaven. Help me to be faithful to you. God bless you.